Thanks a lot, Judy. And I'm actually quite pleased to speak on a panel with representatives from the Free Nigeria Movement and with the Free Burma Coalition, Students for a Free Tibet. Very important tools in changing some of the egregious things that our government supports around the world. The importance of solidarity. In fact, this idea of global immediacy and campus solidarity or international solidarity is so critical. It is a critical response to the globalization of the world and to the emergence of corporate domination throughout the world. And so I want to echo the importance of drawing such solidarity on our campuses across this country to respond to this continuing threat to democracy, to human rights, to people all over the world. I think what I'd like to spend my time in talking about is about what's happening in Iraq. And I think that it's a textbook example of the failure of democracy in the United States, and a textbook example of the censorship, the corporate censorship of the corporate-dominated media in the United States. The fact that many of you might not have heard of what's happening in Iraq unless you follow the alternative media testifies, you know, the level of control and censorship of our popular media in the United States. I just want to say a few things that are pretty obvious. First of all, warfare and wars are incredibly profitable to corporations, to the defense industry, to oil companies. And so when we look around the world and we think of our human capacity to overcome such brutality, the fact that it continues around the world, I think, testifies to the power of corporations in continuing to structure our lives in the world. I think in ending corporate power, corporate rule across the world, we would also find the means to end war and establish a meaningful peace among all peoples around the world. When you look at the situation in Nigeria, you look at Shell. When you look at the situation in Tibet, you look at corporations like, formerly like Holiday Inn, and or the Fortune 500 with China. When you look at East Timor, you can look at many of the corporations that are engaged with Suharto, like Freeport-McMoRan. When you look at Burma, you can look at many of the corporations that sponsored that regime, like for many years PepsiCo or Motorola, and the number of corporations that continue to stay in Burma despite popular opposition. When you look at Iraq, the Gulf War, and you look at the numbers of people that were killed, the 300,000 Iraqis that died during the 43 days of intensive bombing by the United States, the use of all these weapons that made a lot of corporations rich, the $435 billion price tag that war carried and continues to carry, you discover a number of corporations under the surface that made tremendous profits off of that war and continue to make money off of the continuance of that war, because the Gulf War isn't over. There continues a military blockade on Iraq that prevents its oil from reaching the world market. So a number of U.S. transnational oil corporations are allowed to sell their oil at artificially higher prices than if the full supply were to hit the world market. You have the defense industry that is making tremendous profits off the continuance of this military blockade that maintains Saddam Hussein as enemy number one for the Middle East. So you have Raytheons or McDonnell Douglases of the world militarizing the region to the teeth and destabilizing it for generations to come for all the peoples that live there. You also have the tremendous profits that were made by corporations like IBM, Motorola, Caterpillar, Raytheon, Bechtel, that made money off of the reconstruction of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. In Kuwait alone, it was $100 billion worth of contracts that were awarded primarily to U.S. corporations. And part of that is because of the incredible hegemony that the United States exercises over the entire Middle East. Kuwait is a client state. It's not a democracy. And there are a number of other client states. I mean, Israel gets more money from the United States than any state in the nation. So when I speak of these corporations that are making these tremendous profits off of the continuance of the war or off of future wars, then you can understand why they don't want the media in this country to report what's actually happening in Iraq. What is happening in Iraq right now is more devastating than the Gulf War ever was. Because when you withhold food and medicine, you hit the entire population. There were a lot of civilian targets during the Gulf War. 84% of the civilian infrastructure in Iraq was destroyed by U.S. bombing during that war. But bombs and bullets aren't as harmful as withholding food and medicine. 300,000 Iraqis died during the Gulf War. In the sanctions that continued after the war, over 1 million Iraqis have died directly because of those sanctions. These are children dying horrible deaths from diseases like Pushorker's disease, which is the total emancipation of the body. And I saw these children. I saw children with the distended stomachs of famine, not because of some natural catastrophe, but because of the United States and because of the corporate dominance that prevents the American people to realize what our government is doing in our name. It's a textbook example of the failure of democracy, because if you think of it, the killing of children, 4,800 children under the age of 5 dying each month, according to UNICEF, because of the sanctions. That kind of killing of children violates the moral consciousness of the American people. So if this was truly a democracy, and I'm sure no one in this room supports the killing of 4,800 children each month, then it would match that the United States would not be engaged in this war against the children of Iraq. But the United States is, and the American people largely are ignorant of what is happening in Iraq. So what we can do on campuses across the country, when we raise voice for the people of Tibet, for the people of East Timor, for the people of Nigeria, for the people of Burma, when we draw that kind of solidarity on our campuses, we must also raise voice for the people of Iraq. And in articulating those voices, we also need to draw the connections with the role that corporations are playing in each of these cases. With Shell in Nigeria, with corporations that are very cozy with Suharto in Indonesia, or with Zhang in China, or with the regime in Burma. And we also must draw the connections with the silence that often pervades our media. Seven years ago, there was tremendous mobilization on campuses across this country in opposition to America's participation in the Gulf War. And today, despite the devastation that these sanctions are having on the people of Iraq, there largely is silence. And I think I've already talked about many of the reasons I believe that silence exists. But I ask and plea for all of the people that I met when I was in Iraq, that in talking to people on your campuses and in your communities with this democracy teach-in, that you tell them the numbers of people that are dying in Iraq because of sanctions. And I also ask that in looking at the Gulf War itself, you know, President Bush, shortly after the end of that war, declared that the specter of Vietnam has been buried forever in the desert sands of the Arabian Peninsula. Unbury it. We should never unlearn the lessons of Vietnam. We should never unlearn the lessons of the violence and the killing of civilians that seems to occur with every war and with those that profit from those wars. And it's also critical when we look at how can we change these situations. The incredible tools we have at our tips. For example, divestment campaigns to change the governments in many of these repressive countries, and selective purchasing ordinances that can be passed in cities, and also that kind of work on our campuses as well. But it's also critical that the people of those countries, that the people that are oppressed, are part of that solidarity, are part of those movements, are part of figuring out what we can do to change that. That way we can assure that when sanctions are used as a tool, they are not inhumane. They do not kill the people we are trying to free. And so it's important that we have a sophisticated understanding of every situation. And I ask that when you talk about sanctions, that you use specific language so that people understand what divestment means and how it's been effective with, like, going against apartheid South Africa or selective purchasing ordinances. When you use sanctions, in some ways, you can justify what's happening in Iraq. And that should never be justified. I do want to mention, for those of you that are close to Madison, November 13th and 14th, there will be a conference that will address sanctions, not just with Iraq, but with the blockade on Cuba, with what's happening in Burundi, Africa, what is happening with Libya, and other countries that find themselves under sanctions. So, and part of that conference will also address alternatives to sanctions and how to ensure that it selectively hits the political leaders. Because, as I have said with Iraq, Saddam Hussein and the regime isn't hurt from sanctions. In fact, they're profiting off of sanctions. It's the people of Iraq that are being devastated by sanctions. I just want to read one thing in closing, and again, it returns to the role of corporations. When we went to a war against Iraq, we were told that Iraq had like the fourth largest military in the world, that it presented this tremendous threat to the United States and U.S. interests and to the world. But it's important to recognize that a single U.S. corporation was all by itself more than three times bigger than the entire economy of Iraq. That was General Motors. It's also important, again, looking at the history of the Gulf War and the way that the bombing occurred. In the Middle East, conflicts before the Gulf War, it has not generally been the practice to destroy an enemy's economic base. So when you look at wars like the Iran-Iraq War, Iran and Iraq was careful not to destroy the economic base of its enemy. And the reason why is that the infrastructure is the developing nation's hedge against foreign domination. And when developing countries start destroying each other's economic facilities, they can be said to be aiding the imperialist powers. And again, that's kind of a connection to corporations. Wars are very, very wonderful for corporate America. It's an opportunity, not just to profit off of the war, but to gain access to those nations after the war. And we see that with the U.S. power and influence in the United Nations, but also over OPEC. So again, there is global immediacy when you look at issues like Nigeria, Burma, Tibet, East Timor. When you look at the case of Iraq, there's global immediacy. And again, the importance of solidarity on our campuses as a response to the emergence of corporate power, as a response to the growth of these regimes and their oppression against their peoples, and as a response to the globalization that corporate America and other transnational corporations desire so much. So thank you very much.